The end of Shemesh week, we mentioned that there's an important process in terms of tzitzis, and that is the connecting of the strings to the beged. It's kind of hard to envision fulfilling the mitzvah if the strings are connected to the beged. So what Allah has governed the connecting of the strings to the beged? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, commenting on the pasuk, Davar b'nei Yisrael osen tzitzis, v'ein d'kechavim osen tzitzis, that only a Jew is kosher to make that connection of the strings to the beged. As a non-Jew would not be acceptable. B'nai Yisrael below of the Kham. It's actually Machlokes in the world. We pass like that Ma'amar, but that would be a problem in the Araisa. We shun around the Machlokes about who exactly is included in B'nai Yisrael for these purposes. So some of the Rishonim say that women are also not called B'nai Yisrael for these halachos, just as the Gemara has it in Masechet Kedushin on a different series of Pesukim. B'nai Yisrael, Somchim B'nai Benos, Yisrael Somchos, where you have Smichas HaKarbonos, where you lean on the Korban, so only a male does it, a female doesn't do it. So some Yisharim extrapolate from that Gemara and say that whenever the Torah says the phrase B'nai Yisrael, it always means to exclude B'nai Yisrael. So therefore, just as a goy would not be acceptable to make a prayer of tzitzis for you, so a woman would not be acceptable to connect the strings either. It doesn't say the woman's not acceptable to spin the wool, it just says that she's not acceptable to do the asiyas tzitzis, and here the aslam tzitzis is going on that tall sachut and sticking the hole, the tzitzis into the holes. And many Rishonim, probably most of Rishonim, say, well, how you turn around? We're not Tanoim, we're not Amorim, we don't make our own drushes. So sometimes Chazal had the tradition that B'nai Yisrael is coming to Lafuke women, and sometimes not. If you would say it in Kol Tarkula, that would knock women out of a lot of mitzvahs say B'nai Yisrael, and we don't darshan below B'nai Yisrael. So, therefore, we have no right to disqualify women from making tzitzis. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's not 100% clear. The Ramah quotes that Yeshayimrim, that if not right, you should try to avoid. You shouldn't have women making tzitzis. But Me'ik Mikra did, probably most of the Rishonim held it really was okay. I remember when I was a kid in elementary school, I won't tell you which elementary school, I was in elementary school, it was a co-ed school, so one of the projects that we had in fourth grade was making tzitzis. So I remember it was somehow they weren't good as though the Shmuel was over that minute, and that wasn't on the radar screen. So they wanted to know what are the girls supposed to do. So it was a very progressive back in the 1970s, not progressive today, but progressive back in the 1970s meant that whatever the boys could do, the girls had to do also. But they had not yet reached the point of saying that the girls were going to wear the tzitzis that they make. So they had all the girls in fourth grade making the tzitzis for their fathers, for their brothers, etc. So of course, they have to show those tzitzis were possible in the Torah because when they saw the nurses, again, they held like Rav Hashem, it was okay. Fine. We get back to that story. So, in the normal circumstances, we wouldn't have girls making tzitzis, in deference to that view in Rishonim. What about if we have a male who's making tzitzis? Do the tzitzis have to be made lishma or not? So last week you spoke about how the strings have to be manufactured lishma. That means the tviya sachutin has to be lishma, maybe the shazir sachutin has to be lishma. What about the asiya sachutin in the sense of the asiya sachutin lishma beged? Does that tal sachutin lishma beged have to be lishma or not? So the Rambam writes that there's no need for it to be lishma. The whole sugya of the Gemara about tviya lishma is only referring to the making of the strings themselves. But the connecting of the strings in the beged need not be lishma. How did the Rambam know that? So the Rishonim point out that the Rambam was medayik from the fact that the Gemara needs a special pasuk to disqualify goyim. Why does the Gemara need a pasuk to disqualify goyim if the halacha would have been that the asiyas achutin lebeged, the tliyas achutin lebeged has to be lishma? So then goyim by definition would have been excluded because a goy can't do things lishma. So zemah enough for the fact that the Torah went out of its way to spell out the grammar apostle that goof is a raya lakula, that the etzem b'kliyas achutin need not be lishma. And the Rosh disagrees with that raya. The Rosh says b'chol not a raya. The Rosh says that we could have constructed a scenario where the goy could do something lishma. How could a goy do something lishma? If you stand over him and you scream at him and say do lishma, do lishma, do lishma, it's called Yisrael Avon Agavav. So the Rosh claims that that would work. And the Rambam holds that doesn't work. So that's what Machlokes Rishonim, depending how you read a Gemara in the second paragraph of Masechet Gittin. So the Rosh says that just the fact that the Torah says that a goy is not acceptable, that doesn't indicate that you don't need lishma. It could be you do need lishma, and it could be you could have done it lishma. There's exactly a cause of that a goy can't do it. So in all the dust settles, we have a running Machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh, where the Tliya Sachut and the Sacha Beged has to be lishma, or need not to be lishma. How do we pass in halacha on that shayla? So we pass in it's a sfeik of the din. We're not sure what the din is. So therefore, lechachila, whenever we make tzitzis, we always insist on doing lishma. But the evid, if it wasn't made lishma, we would have a lot of problems with that also because the sfeik of their isa, according to half the rishonim, according to Shita's Arash, the tzitzis will be puzzled their isa. So we want to go out of our way to make sure when we connect the strings to the beged that we really do it lishma. So we mentioned, I think, last week that there's a suffix in the rishonim whenever the halacha requires lishma, does it have to be verbalized lishma, or is it enough just to think lishma? So the Rosh quotes in Hilchos Sefer Torah, we mentioned last time, I think they quotes the name of Rabbeinu Baruch, and Rabbeinu Baruch wasn't sure what the din is. Because sometimes we find in halacha that things have to be accomplished dafka through dibur, and sometimes we find in halacha that nachshav is good enough, so you never really know what the answer to that question is. So Rabbeinu Baruch blight by himself, he's not sure whenever the Torah requires lishma, for making matzahs, or for writing Sefer Torah, or for making tefillin, or for spinning tzitzis, or for writing a get, whatever the halacha requires the shema, does it have to be verbalized, or is it enough just to think? So obviously, of course we're going to say the shema. But the habit, if we didn't say it, we just thought, so not so possible, not so simple. So here the Mishadur writes, what the din means, a very common shayla, the person made tzitzis, and he didn't know the din of the shema. Mamish had no idea he's supposed to say the shema. He was thinking lishma, he had in mind lishma, but nobody told him he's supposed to say l'shem yichud, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. So what would we say after the fact? The Mishabur's maker was a fake speaker. What? Says, first of all, we're not even sure that the asiyas achutin, l'socha beged, require lishma for you. Maybe the Rambam's right. And even if the Muslims, the Rosh is right, maybe machshav is also good enough for lishma. So therefore, b'shasochach, Mishabur would be maker. If you already made a pair of tzitzis, as long as you have given on the Shin Tzitzis, even though you didn't actually verbalize it, so b'diyav would be okay, basically, the state's fake. But l'chachilu, that's not the way to do things. L'chachilu, when you make a pair of tzitzis, you're supposed to say, p'malli, supposed to say, I'm doing it l'shma. How many times do you have to say l'shma? One time. We have a rule called Isa Adas Yishen HaOysa. Let's say a person started to make a pair of tzitzis, and they say l'shma now. They say l'shem, it's a tzitzis, and they put the strings into the hole, and they start tying the knots. And then they get distracted with something else. They go take a cup of water, they go daven mincha, they go, they take a walk around the block, and they come back 20 minutes later. So the ikra din is that they don't have to repeat the lishma. It's understood, it's all part of the same ma'isa. Unless somebody else takes over for them. If a second person takes over for them, so then the Gemara says, the first, that's not also das v'shayna. Also das v'shayna only means if you were the original ma'isa. So, but close mind, you're the original ma'isa, so then the ikra din would be good enough. Everything is das, the original lishma. So again, something the person has to be careful with. Yeah, we'd have to say lishma. Yeah, you can't just rely on the first person. What?
If the first person came back, maybe after.
I mean, I started, then you took over, then I came back again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we don't sell das v'shayna. I don't know much. It's because of this issue that we are concerned, the Shavu Derais, according to the Rosh, that the Tliyas HaChupin has to be connected to the Beg and the Shema in the Torah. That's why we should shy away from having Ketanim making tzitzis, because the Kotas are going to make tzitzis. So a Kotan is a lavar das. So a Kotan can't do things in the Shema, unless you want to invoke the principle of al-das, of doing it, a girl of an adabot. So the Gemara in the Sefer Rabban Gittin has a discussion about the writing of a get. The writing of a get requires the Shema in the Torah. So the Gemara says, at least according to one opinion, the Gemara, that a Kotan can actually write a get, provided that a girl was standing over him and knock him over the head and saying, do the Shema, do the Shema, do the Shema. So we say that a Kotan is doing al-das to girl, and that would be okay. So that's what the post came out. Since it's the same thing, would be true. That under normal circumstances, we wouldn't really encourage a child under the age of a mitzvah to make tzitzis, but if whatever reason he's making it, so then we would insist that a girl was obnagab, so then he could, and that would be good, even according to the Shittas of Rosh. According to the Rambam, it's anyway good, but even according to the Rosh, who requires the Kliyas Achud Mishma, would be okay. We had the Shaila a couple of years ago. Everyone was in Netzis like Kolo, the summer of Chispin, some of the places remember the summer of Chispin. So one of the projects, that was the summer when there was a war in the south, so they moved the whole kolel up to the north to get away from the rockets. So we're sitting in Milchus Bid, and one night some guy comes to Yerushalayim with a big truckload of hundreds of pairs of avocados with hundreds of rolls of strings that they were trying to send to the front, that they were trying to make pairs of tzitzis for some of the soldiers, because they had to wear dafka green begodim, because they had to be camouflaged. So they needed special pairs of tits that were made for them. So we had about 500 pairs that had to be made like in moment's notice. So we took all 250 NCSY guys and we all put them to work and made them make pairs of tits. So I gave a whole shiur about all the different issues that were involved in that at the time. So one of the issues was they asked us to make the tits at night. So we'll see, find out this week or next week, whether some folks can have a little bit of a pain to maybe not make tits tonight, but that's already a chumra b'yam, a mikra didn't know it's okay. And this fellow needed the tzitzis for the next week. He was driving back to Gaza in the next couple of hours, so we couldn't wait till the next day. So we had to rely on the Prima Gadol. Okay, we rely on most folks, most of us, okay, at night. Then another issue was that some of the kids under the age of our mitzvah, one and help out. So I think Yaki Leibowitz at the time, I think, was one of our helpers as a cousin under the age of our mitzvah. So I told him they could do it, but we had to have a girl over the gabbah. So we were walking around and telling all the kids under bar mitzvah, do it l'shma, make sure that do it l'shma. So that would be acceptable also. Again, normally we probably wouldn't do that. Under these circumstances, we rely on these pedim, that girl over the gabbah would be okay. The worst of the shahs that we had was that somebody didn't know that there's supposed to be only four strings in the tzitzis. They put five strings in the tzitzis or something. And it was already shipped off to Gaza, and then they realized that they were doing it all wrong all the way. So the couple of begadim and tzitzis that were made with five strings. What are the ramifications of that? So it depends, yes. Some of them say it's a disidereis and a weird, it sounds baltoisif. And others are making it, that's called baltoisif, because you didn't add another mid, you just repeated the same trick. If you put four strings and then something else, that would be a problem. But if you just by putting more and more strings, so maybe that wouldn't be baltoisif. That's how the grew up asking. The grind was making. So I said that, and since we're calling Gaza, they rely on the shit. Like, well, there's no baltoisif in that. There's some soldier who opened up things and said some nika poop American didn't know he was supposed to have grew up. No. Anyway, okay, back to that story. So we try as best as we can to insist that the false chul didn't actually be done the shmok. The other point Allah has to be aware of if you're making your own tzitzis, why would somebody be bothered making their own tzitzis? Why don't you just get them in the store pre-made? So there are some more machter because the nitziv has a deer from a shiltas that says that the mitzvah tzitzis, there are two parts of the mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis and there's a mitzvah to make tzitzis. Because even though the ikra mitzvah is really the wear, we don't make a bracha when you make the tzitzis, but since it's a hefshah mitzvah across the Torah, since the Torah does speak about making tzitzis, gedim tasa l'cha, we also have tzitzis, the Torah speaks about the ma'isa siya itself, the halacha to govern the ma'isa siya. So it's a hechsher mitzvah kosher b'torah. The mitziv, the very very end of the shiltas, develops this whole shiltas Torah, the dasa shiltas. But there are two kinds of hechsher mitzvahs in halacha. Sometimes the hechsher mitzvah is just understood. It's a shofar. The Torah doesn't say to make a shofar. It's understood. If you want to have a shofar, you got a chef in the house, take what you want, clean it out, make a shofar out of it. Sometimes the Torah, let's say Moshe lulav, the Torah doesn't say you have to go to the tree and cut off the lulav. So understood. You want to have a lulav. You have to prepare a lulav in advance. So whenever there's a hechsher mitzvah she'eino kasher b'Torah, it need not be done by you. There's no reason, there's no inyan lechatchila to make your own shofar. There's no inyan lechatchila to grow your own lulav. There's no lechatchila at all. You have to make sure tachas you have a shofar and a lulav available. But when the Torah speaks about a hechsher mitzvah and actually gives a lachas to the hechsher mitzvah, such as tzitzis, such as sukkah, the Torah says chag sukkah tasa b'chaz alashin nesia. So whenever the Torah speaks about a hechsher mitzvah, so then the shiltas, as understood by the tziv, means is that you're supposed to try to do it lechemchil yourself. There's a mitzvah for the atz, but to do a hechsher mitzvah across the Torah. That's what there's a Yerushalmi that says that when you build a sukkah, you make a bracha. We have a not the pasuk that Yerushalmi, but it makes sense because according to Yerushalmi, it's mamash mitzvah. So we hold that the mitzvah is nikmal shem seifa, shem yeshiva sukkah. But we would also hold says that it's lechemchil you should put up the stach yourself, lechemchil you should make the tzitzis yourself, etc. So many people like to remark that they make their own tzitzis, connect their own tzitzis to the baggage. So another halacha to be very important to be aware of, whether you make your own tzitzis or whether you buy tzitzis from the store, is you have to make sure that the strings are situated properly in the hole. The halacha is that tzitzis have to be al kanfei videyam. It has to be on the kanaf. So the Gemara tells us, that the Toshba explains to us, that it has to be dafka on the kanaf. It can't be on the beged proper. It has to be on the corner of the beged. You can't, let's say, make a hole 6 feet into the beged and make a hole in there and call that tzitzis. That's what tzitzis. It has to be dafka on the part of the beged that's called the kanaf. On the other hand, the Torah says it has to be al kanaf lo takas kanaf. It can't be at the very, very edge of the beged, because if it's at the very, very edge of the beged, then it's too low. Then it's not al kanaf. It's underneath the kanaf. So where's the middle ground? Well, the whole discussion that, and finally, a little dust settles. So the Gemara paskins that there's a little bit of a window, a very, very small window of opportunity. There's a small window of where to put the strings, that they're not too high, not too low. The three bands, right, not too high, not too low, right smack in the middle. So where is that shear? What's the shear? So the Gemara says, it has to be above the shear of Keshir HaGoydel. It has to be more than, let's say, from the end of your nail to the first knuckle. It's got to be further away from the edge of the bag than that. So let's say if you have your hole, and your hole is mamish on the edge, then that's too low. That's already called tachas kanaf. On the other hand, if it's too high up, so then it's no good also. How high is high? So it's got to be within three thumb widths away from both this edge and this edge in order to be okay. So let's say if I would have my hole all the way up here, that would be no good. So here, it's more, as you can see, it's more than a Keshir HaGoydel, a little bit more than a Keshir HaGoydel. It's also less than three thumb widths. in my place. I didn't make the hole. That's why I bought it. When I looked at it, it's always a good idea when you buy tzitzis to measure the hole. Sometimes they're off. Not most of the time they're okay, but sometimes they're off. So you may be wondering, wait a second, but once the daggett folds up, so it's too nasa, I'm going to run that. That's ridiculous. He says that as long as you would unfold the daggett, so it would bite, it would still be within, you see, it's within 2 fingers worth, could be a little bit more, and it's more than a kesher or goldel, so then it's good enough. So that's important. And otherwise, if it's a pasha, the pasha of Torah, because it's not situated in the proper place. At the end of the demonstration for now, we'll see. Okay.
As far as the width?
The width, yeah. Etzba is the width of a thumb. Okay, so it's got to be within 3. A goal doesn't get them all from all sides. What if a person put him in the right place, and then now it's no longer in the right place? Why? Because the daggett starts to rip. So they usually reinforce the holes of the so they won't rip so quickly. That's something they rip. So now they rip. Now they fell all the way down. So now the tachas are canal. The Gemara says that's okay. The Gemara says that din, that the tzitzis have to be in the right place. That's only true b'shas asiyah. But also the tzitzis have canal still chelos. But if you made it in the right place and then the beggar subsequently changed because the hole ripped or something, that's still okay. If the hole rips, the garment, the tzitzis fall off, then there's no tzitzis there. As long as it's still a little bit there, it's holding tzitzis in place, that'll be okay.
You made them too far and then they rip to get closer.
Right. So it's interesting. It's interesting. The Gemara never. Oh, what do you mean? You made b'shas nice, they were no good. And now, that would be no good. That for sure no good. Right, that's tasa mirasa. Right. When you put on the tzitzit, you have to be kosher b'shas nice. Right, very good. Excellent. So again, so the din is that you have to be careful when you're placing the tzitzit. You have to make sure that everything is in the perfect. What happens later is nishkafelach. When you put tzitzit into the hole of the daggett, so there's only one hole there. Like, why in the world would there be two holes there? So that's what the classic post about. The Shulchan Aruch describes the making of tzitzis. And the Ari HaKadosh had this tradition that some of there's supposed to be two holes there. So again, either way is going to be acceptable, but the standard practice in most of the world before the Ari HaKadosh was to have two holes. And then according to the Tzitzis have one hole, the Ari HaKadosh had two holes. That's why the Hasidim, they usually have two holes, and the Misnagdim, those who follow the regular standard Misnagdim and Hagim, they usually have one hole tzitzis. But again, that's the whole difference. It's Ermes Al Yoyim, it's hard to understand what it's all about. But again, either way, Mikvah, it would be okay. But generally, Misnagdim practice is to have only one hole. This halacha that's important, it's very important, Bishas Asiyas at tzitzis, and things are less significant as the tzitzis develop. As time goes on, so this sets into motion a very technical, important part of the tzitzis that always causes a lot of confusion, and that's the following. Let's say I made it perfectly kosher, and now some of the strings ripped. So at what point do we say that the tzitzis are no longer kosher? What point do we say that the tzitzis are still a little bit kosher? So before we figure out what happens when they rip, what are they supposed to look like in the first place? So how big a tzitzis is supposed to be? How long is what's the shear of any to the length of the strings? So the Gemara, the whole Machlek is about this, and finally, the Gemara concludes that the shear is Dal Godlin. The shear is four thumb widths. The only problem is it's not clear from the Gemara what exactly that's referring to. Because the Gemara says that when you make tzitzis, so the strings have to have two parts of them. You have to have the tied up parts with the chulias and the knots and the whole lump together part. Then you have to have the free flowing part, the rest and the rest of the string. Where did that come from? So the Gemara says that's based on the psukim, because in one place the Torah describes tzitzis as being gedilim. That was the last week's pasha. So gedil means like a wrapped around, like a bunch of things wrapped around together. That's called a gedil. In the other place, the Torah by Shlach describes tzitzis as being psil techeles. Psil is just a free flowing string. So the Gemara says, what is it? A tzitzis supposed to be tied together, and hung together, and knotted together, or tzitzis supposed to be just flying out? The Gemara quotes about like this about this. So one opinion, the Gemara says that the Torah is giving you a choice. Now, either one, if you want to make your tzitzis completely tied up into knots and everything, that's okay. You want to make your tzitzis just flying all over the place, that's also okay. And the other day, the Gemara says, no, the Torah is not giving you a choice. The Torah is saying you have to do a little bit of both. It's like the machlokes of Elazar Rishu about Yom Tov. Is it chatzim chem chatzim l'shem? Either one, same kind of machlokes. So we paskin like that opinion. The same way we paskin by Yom Tov. We paskin need a little bit of both. So we paskin by tzitzis need a little bit of both also. So you have to have a little bit of gedil and a little bit of psil. If it's kulo psil, kulo gedil, then it's possible that turn. So we paskin. You have to have a little bit of both. How much? What's the ratio between the two? So the Gemara says, in that turn, there's no ratio. Whatever it is, 3/4 one way, 80% the other way, 90% one way, 2%. As long as you have a little bit of both. that's okay. But the Gemara says that we should heed the mitzvah. Chazal said that the nice way tzitzis look nice, and there's a ratio of 1 to 2. That's the nice. Should be a little bit of deal than most tzitzis. Should be approximately. You don't have to take a tape measure. That'd be down to the last half of a millimeter. But it should look. It should give off the impression pretty much that it's 1 to 2. One part deal to two parts tzitzis. That's what the Gemara calls noit chelis. That's the right way of doing things. So with that, all that background, so now the Rishonim have a big machlokes. When we know that the correct ratio, the proper ratio of the chatchil is going to be, it's not accurate the ratio, but the chatchil should be 1 to 2, and we know Chazal speak about the Shia being 4 a golem, the problem is, which part will Chazal referring to? So there are three possibilities. Either they're referring to the Gedil, or they're referring to the Psil, or they're referring to both together. So there's a three Rav HaChol Yisrushan, three possibilities, three Rav HaChol Yisrushan. So we pass it like Rabbeinu Tam. We passed in that the Gemara was talking about only the Gedil. I mean, the smallest part is supposed to be 4 golden, which would translate to mean that the bigger part has to be 8 golden. So for all the higher math ages here, so 4 and 8 equals 12. So that's so we passed in Shulchan Aruch that the Shia of Tzitzis is supposed to be 12 golden. So the bare bone minimum when you make a pair of Tzitzis is that. Now that means if it's ready or made. So again, it's coming out of the hole. So we're all done. It's ready coming out of the hole. And now I want to start counting, so I start counting from here. So I start counting from here, it should be approximately 4 golden the deal part. 3, okay, a little fat or something. Give or take, you don't have to be exactly. And then the rest should be about 8. 8 plus if you want, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, good. Even the smallest three is a little bit more than a good chunk. So it's a yud beis gold, good. That's the way that's supposed to start out with. Now, what if something rips? Well, then it gets very, very complicated. So then comes the Gemara and says that if it rips, it could still potentially be kosher. It's not the end of the world. According to many poskim, it's similar to that same halach like the tzitzis that fall beneath the shear. But there are certain halachas that only said b'shas asiyah and don't necessarily carry on to the duration of the mitzvah. So according to some, that's what this is based on. This is what the Gemara calls gadum et chelas. Gadum means leftovers. Gadum means that it's not b'shemusa. It started out as 12, but now it's a little bit less. So gadum is still kosher. Well, gadum is kosher. Well, let's say the whole string rips, there's no string left. So obviously, that's not going to be good. So at what point do you say that it's still called shirayim, it's still called gadumin? And at what point do you say it's just too ripped too far, that's mabish, mabish, nothing? So the Gemara says the shir is kedei aniva, it's anushia. So kedei aniva means that there's still enough string left, not 12, I hope in any stretch of imagination, but there's still enough of a string left, you can make a bakoshi, you can make a bow out of what's left. That's what's called nisha kedei aniva. How much is that? So that's already not so clear. Mishnah Berurah quotes machlokes. He added the chayodim. How much is that? Is it 4 golden? Is it 2 golden? It's not clear exactly what that shear is. Let's say it's there are 2 golden itself. So it means when you start off, it's got to be the whole thing's got to be really, really, really long. And then when you and if something rips, mishka fella. So then there's a further machlokes that we showed him about how much do you need kedei aniva for? From what part of the string has to be kedei aniva? So some mishnayim say if any part of the string is left kedei aniva, that's good enough. And other mishnayim say no, it's got to be past the knots. So it's got to be a seal of kedei aniva in order for it to be kosher. So according to that, let's say for argument's sake, your tzitzis ripped. Let's say if your tzitzis ripped all the way up to here, so all the way up to here, so then you don't even have kedei aniva. So then the whole tzitzis apostle. So as long as you have kedei aniva, you're good. So now if you think about it, so each string is made. Each string that's coming out of here, there are really only 4 strings in the tzitzis. We just have. You fold them over, you double them over, and then you end up with 8. So let's say, in theory, one of these strings rip all the way to here. So, gevalt, I don't have kedei aniva anymore, those strings are possible. What's the answer? That's not true. Why? Because in the other, well, but the gedil doesn't interest me, because the gedil, we're machle, you need to go. But the other side of the string has kedei aniva. So if any given string is missing kedei aniva, it's still okay, it's still salvaged by the other half of the string. The only problem is, let's say, 2 of my strings rip, and all the way to here, and I don't have kedei aniva. What's my problem? That I don't have ruach hakodesh. I don't know, is this the same string or not? Now, the last thing I want to do is start taking it apart to find out, because once I do that, then it's mamash possible. So I have to have ruach hakodesh to know, is this the same string or not? That's what the Shulchan quotes. Unless you have a way to figure that out, there may be ways to figure it out, but if you don't have a way to figure that out, so then now you have to be concerned that maybe it's the same string, and if it's the same string, so then you're missing a string, because that's not even Gadumin, that's Kemandaleisa. So you know, you only have 3 kosher strings, don't say it's apostle potentially the pulse of the Torah. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that if only one string rips and you're not left with Keder Aniva, no, no. But if two strings rips and you're not left with Keder Aniva, then you have a problem. What if all of the strings rip, but you have Keder Aniva in all of them? Let's say it all rips like this. It becomes rips all right here. So you could argue, okay, but I have to then even all of them. What could possibly be wrong? So that's the view of many Rishon. Could be most Rishon that say, as long as you have Kedah Neva, nothing could possibly be wrong. So Rabbi Natam had a Chiddush. Rabbi Natam says that Gadumin are only kosher if at least you have two intact strings. Two strings for sure have to be good. They have to be Rishon Musel. You can't have Rovi Yetzitzis made up of Gadumin. So two strings here in the right. Like, come on. Oh, two of your strings got to be Chaykul Yavah. Have to. Yeah, it's got to be full Yud Beis. It's got to be Yud Beis Dolgu.
Double sided strings?
Or? Wait, we'll see in a second. There are only four strings. So two out of those four strings have to be Bishlemusa, Bichimu, Batsoif, I'd be as well. Elalah, if two of the strings start to rip and they're left to the Aviva, then you're okay. So what would that mean practically? So according to Rabbi Natan. So let's say one string rips and you still have to the Aviva. So you're good to go. What could possibly be wrong? The next string rips and you still have to the Aviva. What would the din be according to Minatam? What's the worst case scenario according to Minatam? What's the opposite of before? That maybe the what? Maybe they're two different strings. If they're two different strings, so then you now have two intact and two no good, but that's still okay. But what if you have a third string that rips? So you still have Kedah Neva? So now you have a problem according to Minatam, because it's possible, again, you don't have Baruch HaGadosh, but it is possible that these are three different strings. None of those two are overlapping in the same string. So now you don't have two strings Mishle Musim anymore. So now you have a problem. So it's because of this that basically what appears in Shulchan Aruch is the following din. That if you want to know what the rules are, it's a little confusing, but they're really basically two different principles. If your strings begin to rip, so if you reach the point of beneath Kedah Neva, you don't even have Kedah Neva. Two below Kedah Neva, two strikes and you're out. Because there's a chashash, that's the same string, and then you're missing one string legamri and you're done, you're finished. And then there's a second problem, which is, there's a secondary problem, even if you have Kedah Neva, but if three strings ripped, so then you also have a problem, because those three strings may be three independent strings, then you don't have the two shleimim to begin with. So either one of those two things will invalidate your tzitzis. So again, if it's two strings less than Kedah Neva will pose a problem, and three strings, even with Kedah Neva, will pose a problem. So bottom line is, if your strings start to rip, get a new pair of scissors, because then you have to keep your eyes open all the time to make sure nothing rips. But if just one string rips, it's Nishkevel. However, if one string rips, the worst place for it to rip is between the hole and the beginning of the string, the beginning of where the knots start, because then it's not Mechubu Bechlal to the Beged, so that's for sure no rip. That's something just to keep in mind. If that rips, then you have a big problem. What are you unraveling of the Shazira?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a further Shaila. So this is a throwback to last week. So if you're like the Rambam, you don't really need Shazira, then you're good to go. That's not a problem. But we're Choshish, most Rishon, disagree with the Rambam. So the post came right that unraveling the Shazira is tantamount to the string not being there. So if it unravels to the point where, again, either one of those two things are true, then you would have a problem. Now, the good news is that even when our strings unravel the Shazira, so that it's not terrible because we have Kofel Shmona. So it unravels eight of them, but you still usually have two of them that are intact. For this reason, that some people like to make little knots at the bottom of their strings to avoid the Shazira unraveling, and some folks weren't so thrilled with that idea. So, yesh, yesh. Some folks have an interesting chumah. They say that if the string starts to unravel, so then it's a shadow about Tosif, because now you have extra strings in there going back to the Azza shadow. So you may have a shadow of about Tosif. So the Mishnah Berurah's question, the Mishnah Berurah says that when a person sees the strings unraveling, he should say, "Hinni mucham zuman, I don't want to be moisif alachutin. I'm lo nichole, I'm a vatel ki'afed yara, all the extra strings, I don't interest, there should be a chashash about this." And the Yerucha Shulchan writes, he does quote Mishnah Berurah, and he says, the Yerucha Shulchan says, the guy wants to be moisif, the guy doesn't know what you're talking about. That's Eluchal lachav kavan agol mizeh. The Yerucha Shulchan writes that, I think the minhag, anyone here ever do that? Whenever they see the strings unraveling, the first thing they do is they hear Mechum Zul Levatlas has a Shazira that unraveled. Most people don't do that. Most people never heard of this Chumra, but the Mishnah has this Chumra tucked away somewhere. So Chashulchan writes, most people don't find it.
When you're making
the
scissors,
can
you color-code both sides?
Oh, okay, yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes about better than color-code. If you just tie little knots, if you keep them separate, so then you'll have the Ruach HaKadosh, right? And then you'll be able to tell which is which. Some people like to do that. Okay, good. All right, hopefully next week we'll continue.